Good and old more. Opry did a wonderful thing there.
Yes, you did.
Now, don't do it again.
Apparently, that was by request. Is that what
it was?
It was a special long-distance dedication.
The Weavers?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ray's always talking, when they played jazz, he was snapping his fingers and going dingle, dingle.
Did you
dingle,
notice I wasn't snapping my fingers?
And all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I like the beat and it's easy to dance to.
That's true. The kids love it.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And it certainly helps with the demographic we've been looking for. That's good. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our roundtable discussion. Each day we start off with an open discussion of issues in the news and beyond. Joining us this morning, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Morning, Alan.
Yo.
Newsman Ray Graff is here, and Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussfeld is in the house.
Good morning. Happy first day of spring. Isn't it nice out there this morning?
Yeah, it sucks. It's but
to use the technical term.
But yeah, I didn't expect this. I woke up this morning and I thought it would be an easy commute in, and it was quite
it's
awful.
Supposed to get better today.
Yeah, well, that's good.
But then much colder next week.
Yes.
Very cold next week. The polar vortex comes once again.
Well, there you go.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yeah, polar vortex? Yes, you can. Okay, so...
Do you agree with the theory that I, if not others, have advanced that the Weather Channel gins up the potential of storms? Because if you look at a forecast...
It had me a gin, Ira. Continue.
If you look up the forecast on the Weather Channel, the long-term forecast, which, by the way, as most people know, has started naming winter storms.
Which I hate.
And then you look at the weather forecast from the National Weather Service, the latter is always less explosive than the Weather Channel. And the theory is that because this bad weather generates viewers for them, that they really try to gin it up to get you to tune in.
I think that is I think that's certainly the case, and it is I hate the naming of the storms. Yeah. I don't know who gave them that power.
It's their
you
own.
Do whatever you want.
The Weather Service is does not subscribe to it.
Although I don't want to be pumped. I don't want to get on your case, Ira. But your newspaper background, you know, is just showing through all the time. As your pomposity just increases, as you keep saying, you know, those bad broadcasters, they want to get people to listen, so they say things, and you know, and I keep saying to you, if you were the head of CNN, where's the latest on the plane? You'd say it too. Ira doesn't like that
different,
either.
Different.
Everything's different, Joe. Everything is different.
I think. Well, go ahead.
You can play
your own battle.
Well, we'll get into the plane perhaps later. But as it relates to weather, does a Weather Channel have an implied contract with its viewers that it's going to give it straight and accurate, as best as they can be accurate, information about the weather?
How they started.
But do they not do that? In other words, can you adorn things with some exciting detail? In other words, a paper might have a headline that is perhaps a bit sensational.
Newspapers do it all the time.
But if the reporting is clean and straightforward, isn't that the main thing?
Sick 'em, Ray.
There is a theory out there that they will look at a weather map and see the potential for a storm and make it more likely than it might be, and then have headlines that say, another bombshell coming. And
do you have evidence for that?
Yes,
though?
You look at that. Their website is very very frequently will have stories like that.
Their ratings actually have decreased as a result of this new philosophy. They since they have become a part of the NBC family.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They have had increasing ratings issues. The other big thing about the Weather Channel, speaking to Ira's issue, is that the regular forecasts that they used to give that we used to rely on to go to at 8 minutes after the hour are often because of canned program of when storms kill your dogs.
Well, okay.
That kind of thing. Yeah. That those forecasts go by the wayside and they're not even there. And it's not until, because nobody watches until it's, you know, it is snowstorm Bob is freight training into the region.
Right. And that's the theory about why they are drumming up more interest in storms, because they know they're going to get viewership. And they may not be worth it.
Wait a second. There seems to be some inconsistency between you and Joe here. You said, Joe said it's not working. that they're having ratings problems. You said, and that's why they're doing it, in order to get more watchers. So which of you combatants is right?
We're both right. The documentaries are not doing well. When the weather is bad, they do well, and so they're trying to draw people in by perhaps saying the weather is going to be worse than it is. By the way, the Weather Channel is no longer on DirecTV, one of the major providers.
Oh, really?
They've had a dispute
about rates, and
DirecTV's argument is partly Joe's argument that you're not even giving us the weather all the time, you're giving us these documentaries. And so DirecTV has put on its own brand of the Weather Channel, called Weather Nation, which is like public access compared to the Weather Channel.
But I mean, isn't that the normal progression for these cable networks? Look at CNN. You turn on in the middle of a primetime hours. You have to find headline news or something else if you want news updates.
We're going to be talking about the plane. Don't get me started. I just did 20 minutes of it in the other studio.
Yes.
So.
In the media project?
Yeah.
Yes. On the plane?
To my great consternation.
But on the coverage of the plane.
I see.
To my great consternation.
Well, there's some motion now on the whole investigation. So.
Well, that's right. So let's start
very
there. Although this early pre-conversation was lovely.
Really?
I agree, Ray. Let's go to this discussion. The Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott said on Thursday that satellite imagery has detected floating objects in the southern Indian Ocean that might be parts of the missing Malaysia Airlines jet that vanished on March 8th. But he and an Australian rescue organizer both counseled caution about the sighting.
They also used the word credible, didn't they?
Well, I've used yes, and the pictures. The reason that they are credible is the satellite imagery that has come in shows, what is it, 70 feet, I believe, that there are
79,
three,
I think.
Yeah, there are three objects that they have found, and sort of scattering of objects, and there are they are looking at the size and the scope. Also, that it has been found in the new area to which they were looking at, I think, has also given it some credibility. And this is in the Indian Ocean and is under a great deal of, I won't say scrutiny, but is certainly being watched very closely as I think people look to find some remnants or to find some answers to the many, many questions that are surrounding the story. And so more information is there. There are crews that are going to the scene, and we'll see what
first actual report back from the ocean from a United States airplane that specializes in finding submarines was that they did not see what the satellite images saw. So that doesn't mean that the satellite images didn't see something, and it might have been the plane, but there's certainly nothing definitive yet.
The planes, and I guess there is a Norwegian ship that has arrived at the site, so they're searching the area. And I think what you're talking about, Ira, is there's the satellite footage, but then when they sent the planes over, they could not see the visible footage at the coordinates of which were brought up on the satellite.
It's amazing the things you learn watching this endless coverage. Now I know that this spot 1,400 miles off of Australia is something of a dump. In other words, there are two not streams, but currents that collide here, and a lot of the shipping lane garbage, things that are thrown off, end up in this particular area.
Interesting.
So it may be, in fact, parts of the plane. I mean, these are big pieces.
Well, it could be the Exxon Valdez many years later.
Well, the point is they have to look.
The tsunami.
Now, there are reports on TV this morning that they've found objects bobbing in the water. Again, this could be some of that flotsam
and jetsam.
And jetsam just come via these currents. So you learn a lot. We learn a lot about stuff.
Well, I hope that we don't hear, and I know it's almost inevitable either today or in past programs, don't engage in the kind of speculation that we're seeing elsewhere, because it's not advancing the story. It's not doing the listeners or viewers or readers, if it's in print, any good. You know, we should be, without a question, this is an incredibly interesting story that has captured everyone's imagination for all sorts of reasons.
We get on planes all the time.
Yeah, and so the interest is there. And each development, if there is a hard news development, obviously has to be reported. But when there is nothing to report, then we're falling back on speculation, and that just doesn't serve the listeners or the viewers.
Well, go ahead, Ray.
Well, as an editor, where do you draw that line? In other words, if there is something of perhaps nebulous value, but you don't know. If there's a satellite picture, there was one a couple of days ago that appeared to show something. I mean, as an editor, don't you have to take a chance in a vacuum?
I think in the first few days after this event, when the plane was lost, it was appropriate for people to be saying, where is it? What could have happened? Well, it could have been terrorism. It could have been a catastrophic. Could have been this, this, and this. And pretty much laid out all of the possibilities. I mean, Alan was saying earlier, well, it could have been, he didn't hear the one about the spaceship coming in and stealing, you know.
Yeah.
So now that has happened. Now we're in week two. The hard news developments should be continued to be reporting, but I don't think they're serving anybody other than their ratings well by continuing
but
to
isn't
rehash.
Isn't that what it's all about?
This is the question. Who are they? Do they have an obligation to simply draw the ratings to keep themselves in business, or do they have the obligation to their viewers to present hard news and then move on and talk about the myriad other things that are going on in the world?
But would you agree that part of the problem in the story, and I guess my hang-up with what you're saying, and I think I fundamentally agree, But my hang-up is over the term hard news, mm-hmm. because so much of the information that we are getting is from sources that I would refer to as hard news sources. In other words, the Malaysian government is going in front of the people of the family members and reporting much of this, and then that is being reported to us.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. If the Australian Prime Minister gets up and says, we found something in the water, we think it might be the plane, that's a development. What the Australian Prime Minister is not saying is, we found something, it might be the plane, and gee, we think it's there because of this, this, and this. Well, they don't know, and we may never know exactly how that plane went down. But we need to know now, where is that plane? That's the hard news.
But is it not hard news that there is no news?
In other words,
a massive search, all these countries, all these satellites, and you know somebody's holding some stuff back because they don't want us.
Couldn't agree with you more. So then the lead story on Brian Williams tonight ought to be, they're still looking for the plane, there's nothing new to report. The next story shouldn't be, gee, what do you think happened to it? Yeah. We don't know. Nobody knows what happened.
Yeah, but isn't speculation? I mean, you can say speculation.
Oh, you've had enough hair. Cue the Weavers.
I just think he's so wrong. I'm so sorry. I mean, I think speculation is part of the deal. I mean, it's what Americans want to hear. CNN's ratings go through the roof every time there's something like this, and that's because we live in a democracy. People want it. Give it to them.
The thing about it is that if we have a question. There is a mystery. In this case, there is a mystery. So if you bring people, and I would say credible people, many news organizations have not followed that rule, but if you bring credible people who have experience and they posit a theory to say this is what possibly could have happened, to sort of give us some answers and some reference to what we're talking about, is that not healthy? Is that not
I
good?
I think that in the first few days, it was important for us to try to understand what might have happened. And I think that was pretty much explored in the first few days. I don't think anything new has been established since then, and so that the only reason they're doing it is for the ratings. Now, if I was running that network and I needed the ratings, I probably would do the same thing.
My question. Isn't it a bit elitist to say, well, you really don't deserve this information, even though everybody is extraordinarily interested, and from a commercial standpoint, we will make money because people are interested and will watch us. But listen, this is nothing. We're not going to report
I think it's
this.
Because of my frame of reference is print, where I didn't have to fill, or I wouldn't have to fill, every page of my newspaper with this information.
Yeah, I get your point.
Turn on the cable
news. I don't get his point.
I turn on the cable news network. I want to know about the plane. I also want to know what's going on in Ukraine. I want to know what's going on in Washington.
Well, absolutely.
And we're getting precious little, if any, of that.
Oh, you're getting plenty about Ukraine.
No. You're getting just
depends on where you look, Alan.
Dips and drabs of it.
I mean, I think last night, certainly, if you were watching Anderson Cooper, the first 45 minutes was about the plane.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much else about what else was going on in the world. With that said, when I was away over the weekend, I would turn on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and say, oh, what do they have on? And they would have they would be doing some stupid program about something. And I would thought, well, you know, my God, there's a plane missing in the world. Why are we not reporting on this? There's a civil war going on in the world. Why are we not reporting on that? And that kind of thing. That's what I expect of a 24-hour cable news network. I want that. I want that reporting. I want to know what's going on. I want to have people there. So when it's not there, I find that to be odd.
Yeah, I want the reporting. I don't want the speculating.
Well, Sarah Bilofsky checked in.
She must agree with you because you're eager to read
She's
this.
A communications consultant. She said, she speaks for all, want to know what you call the roundtable discussion when we are not capital N-O-T listening. I don't get it. Does anybody else
get it? Yes, we do get it. Well, we were saying, by the way, you don't have to read the ones you don't get.
Yeah.
if they don't make sense.
Joe made a quip at the start of the show. We call it the roundtable panel.
You may call it something else.
At least to you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny. That was all.
Okay. Now I get it.
Okay. That's
Sorry.
All.
You had to be there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a break. Well, no, actually,
we have to double
we'll
go
up
another
on minute. Yeah,
yeah, double
we'll
up
go
on
up
yes.
minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So we hope something will come out of this, and we'll see what happens, and hopefully we'll give you hard news, and you'll have your story.
I think you will have hard news today on this. I got a feeling.
That's speculation.
Yeah, you're speculating.
I don't care. I'm filling in a minute before our double break.
But I happen to agree with you.
Well, okay. But the vastness of the ocean and the time between land and flying over and the currents and the speed. I mean, whatever they saw, let's just presume for the sake of argument that it was the part of the plane. It could have traveled literally thousands of miles because it's been several days since that image was captured.
Yeah.
And the currents and the rough seas, et cetera, likely were to move it way off. And that's one of the deepest oceans in the world, if not the deepest.
What were you going to say, Ray?
What I was going to say is I'm not against the speculation. If it's informed speculation by experts, as we've seen on CNN, who are aviation experts, experts on plane crashes, this is the sort of speculation that A, fills time, B, gets viewers, and C, is interesting to people who are interested in this.
And the IRAs of the world, and my good friend Rex also, you know, these guys, they have a newspaper to fill so they can put 25 different stories on the front page if they want to. You know, and they look down their noses at the electronic media doing it differently.
It's a different game. It's a 24-hour cycle. You got to fill, man. You got
to
fill.
All right. So there's plenty of other news to fill with. I'd much rather see them fill it with Ukraine than with Kim Kardashian.
Well, I haven't seen much of Kim this week, actually. It's a good point.
You can join us by emailing roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or by tweeting us at WAMC Roundtable. We'll be back after this break. I'm
that
Joe.
Was terrific.
I'm Lovely Joe
Donahue,
and you're
Thank
the volunteers.
You,
Yay.
Thank you,
oh, that's right. It's not the fun drive. All right. Well,
champagne to music.
Stop that. Now, that's really fighting words.
You know what?
You compare Pete to Lawrence.
What, with the strings?
Come on. Well, that's because in order to get over the...
Aha! He went commercial. He sold
only
out.
Only those two. Jenna and Irene Goodnight.
It's like having Phil Spector record your records.
Was the name Gordon Jenkins? Is
that
who it was?
Very
yeah,
very famous.
Can you imagine
with Sinatra
a Pete Seeger record with the Wall of Sound?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be something. The drum in the background.
Well, you just watch your face, Raymond.
I beg your pardon?
Because, you know, why...
What's that about?
Well, because he was trying to compare Pete with Lawrence Welk.
Well, they did sound a little schmaltzy there.
Yeah, but that doesn't call for what you did, what you said.
Well, one bad turn deserves another, eh?
can we go back to the show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
Fine.
But what? Go ahead.
No, nothing.
But enough about the Weavers.
Did you want to read a letter, Alan?
Oh, yeah. First, I got to find a thing. Then I got to turn. Okay, here it goes.
I hope the show is better than the rehearsal.
Okay, wait. It says here.
No.
BHH wrote, "The only thing that is worse than speculation in the news is people big capital letters talking about speculation." Mm. "I turn off the news when people start speculating. I just turned off WAMC." Do you know what the definition of an honesty question is?
What's that, sir?
If you don't answer the question to the best of your ability, you could put yourself in mortal danger.
Okay.
Mm. So my question is this, Brian. Are you listening now to see if we read your letter?
And if you're not listening, you dirty rat.
All right. Joseph. It's up to you, Joe.
All right.
It's up to you, Joe, to right the ship here.
Wow. It's a tough... we're braving some tough waters this morning. Let's talk about Crimea. Ukraine plans to withdraw troops from Russia-occupied Crimea, bowing to the reality of the Russian military occupation of Crimea day after Russia announced it was annexing the disputed peninsula. The Ukrainian government said on Wednesday that it had drawn up plans to evacuate all of its military personnel and their families and was prepared to relocate as many as 25,000 of them to mainland Ukraine. Thousands of Ukrainian soldiers and sailors have been trapped on bases and other installations here for more than 2 weeks, surrounded by heavily armed Russian forces and loosely organized local militia.
But the one thing I have been very questioning about in all of this, and I haven't heard it on the news, even speculation, is whether or not, because the Navy guys all got withdrawn, what about the ships? What about the Ukrainian ships? The Russians have ships there, we know that. But what about the Ukrainian ships? Where did they put those? Who got them? Or were they? Weren't there any Ukrainian ships?
I don't know whether or not I'm setting myself up for another insult, but let me posit this to you. Without underestimating the potential importance of the entire Ukraine story, I find myself not to be terribly moved by it, and I'm wondering why that is, and I think it's because I'm a product of that generation that lived through the Cold War.
Sure.
And the Cuban Missile Crisis, when we all in school had to get under our desks as if that would block the nuclear explosion.
Yeah, and that wasn't
and then we, you know, years later, we all went through 9/11, and now we're living in this era of terrorism. I just haven't been reading the Ukraine stories with a degree of fear that perhaps I should. And I think also beyond the fact of that background that I just described, I think today's world is so different in terms of the interlocking economies that I can't see, forget about what the Obama sanctions, that I just can't see Russia and Putin creating a circumstance that could literally unsettle the entire economy of the world. I could see terrorists doing it, but I can't see an organized government doing it.
Well, my answer,
I don't know that I'm right about it.
Well, I don't know. You may be right. But
I know there's no right or wrong.
Things I'm thinking is you would change your tune real fast if it turned out that Putin now said, okay, let's go into Moldova and Estonia. And Estonia and get them back, because Stalin put a lot of Russian speakers in there, and in order to achieve just what's happening right now. We had a letter writer who made that point. We've made it before. Said, how come nobody said it? We have said it. That the Russians, they populated a lot of these places with Russian speakers just to maintain control. If you use the rationale in Crimea, you know, it's complicated. There's an argument to be made here.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't an argument to be made if he starts really getting aggressive. And if he does, then your hair's going to stand on top of your head.
If he put back the Soviet Union to the old Soviet Union, yeah. I would say what I just said still,
because we've
lived through that Soviet Union era, and times are different, and people have tasted freedom, and the economy is intertwined. Again, it's not to say that if Putin is a madman, there's no evidence that he's a madman, that we shouldn't be very, I should be much more worried than I am, but I'm not.
But let's try to remember why the Soviet Union collapsed. It collapsed of its own weight.
Right.
It's not because, well, I mean, one could argue that there was some encirclement, that there was a competing interest in the Western world. But really, the reason it collapsed is because the Russian people were disgusted with it. And, yeah, and I think also, that's it. Yes.
Didn't it also, in part, here I've been blaming cable for a lot of things, but didn't CNN and cable, didn't that help change the dynamic in behind the Iron Curtain?
To say nothing of cell phones.
Well, cell phones and rock videos and that kind of culture, and people were not had never been exposed to it.
Yes, but
before.
My point is, here we're saying, what should we do? I think Obama is behaving in exactly the right way. But what should we do? Let's remember that when you put it back on the people who are populating those countries, they've had it, and they will have a say. Mm-hmm. And when their standard of living goes down, and when they have to live in housing that is just substandard, and all of that, it takes over, and they have their say, mm-hmm. one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Makes for bad radio when I agree. But
I'm enjoying it, having my coffee and listening to you guys agree.
I like it.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation and tackle other issues as well. We always welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck. Iyengar yoga for all ages and abilities. Classes daily, including restorative meditation and weekend workshops. A yoga practice helping to develop strength, flexibility, and peace of mind. ClearYogaRhinebeck.com. Kenco Work and Play Outfitters, Kingston. Now taking reservations for the newly opened Kenco's Interactive Archery Range inside the expanded Big Green Building on Route 28. atkenco.com. And High Meadow School, Stone Ridge, New York. Hosting a Sustainable Living Fest Saturday, March 29th, with masterclasses, kids' demos, local foods, world music concert, and more. HighMeadowSchool.org.
Chenda, 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 can't you hear the music playing in the city square? Chenda, 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 come where all our friends will find us with the dancers there. Chenda, chenda, join the celebration, there'll be people there from every nation. Dawn will find us laughing in the sunlight, dancing in the city square. Chenda, chenda, bump and dance the hora, 1, 2, 3, 4. All the boys will envy me for chenda, chenda. When the band is playing, my heart saying, chenda, chenda, chenda.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable discussion. It is Thursday and it's the 20th of March, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, do you want to read the comments that we have?
No.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Do you have them in front of you?
I do.
You read them.
Because
I was doing something else on my phone here.
The Racing Form app?
Yeah. I was sending Hopper a thank you for playing the Weavers this morning.
I see. On Flight 370, Bob Hendrickson said, enough of the speculation, please. It's a worn-out story. When the outcome is finally known, that will finish it off.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
He's a smart man.
On September 11th, the World Trade Center-bound planes had their transponders turned off. Now, in 2014, we're told the transponder on a current commercial passenger airline can still be shut off. What's wrong with this picture? We got this note from Jeffrey on the Ukraine. I hope I'm being paranoid, because if I'm not, I see the following scenario being played out, and within the next couple of months, Putin feeling emboldened and unstable undermines the nuclear negotiations with Iran by voicing Russia's support for nuclear development in Iran and its autonomy, and promising Iran support and protection in its pursuit of nuclear power and perhaps even a nuclear weapon.
Hmm. Well, there was some speculation in the press yesterday about just this angle with regard to Iran talks and the fact that Russia's hand may be forced to some extent into that as leverage against what the EU and the West is doing to him. So in other words, as a bargaining chip, changing his tune on Iran nukes, maybe.
Yeah. Interesting. I think there's another possible thing, in that this guy is trying to, as we've speculated, recreate the Russian bear, the mighty Russian bear, and he looks for allies. He doesn't particularly care where he gets them.
I was going to go back to the plane because he just reminded me of something. The reader reminded me of something. Listener, rather, there was something I heard that was interesting, not speculation, but that the crew, the in-cabin crew, does not have radio transmission capabilities, as does the cockpit, and that one thing that might come out of this is that they'll put a radio transmitter in the back so that if something's going on, a flight attendant would have the authority to report it. Now there's something that's interesting that's come out of the speculation.
Mm-hmm. We heard from Don Victor, Joe, our frequent correspondent from Great Barrington, who says he doesn't like the way that television is portraying all of us, said everybody seems to be on the right and no one on the left. Just for the heck of it, you should know that Ira and Ray and I are all sitting next to each other, and Joe properly is on the other side of the
console. So this is a camera angle issue.
Where is the camera?
Well, there's a camera there's one behind us.
Right.
We would also note that in our... well, never mind.
No, please.
No. I don't want to go down.
You need to remember that, of course, at the end of the day, we are radio and print people and not really designed to be on camera.
Well, we used to have a camera operator, and in an effort to cut costs of the operation, that was one of the things that we have decided that was necessary to keep the ship afloat.
Yeah.
Let me just say, without showing our dirty underwear, au contraire, I have always felt, and we do have two people in there. We have the wonderful Kristen, and we have Hopper, and Kristen is now looking at the camera angles and looking it all out. I think just for the heck of it, we should remind everybody that if you want to see what's going on in here, the way that we make the sausage, you got a WAMC.org, right? That's where you go.
Yeah, but my point is that you don't have a full-time cameraman working the show.
All right. Now this is what we would call the 10 a.m. meeting in Alan's office. This is probably not for on air.
I have a question, though. Is this show also still simulcast on the local cable company?
No.
Because there is over the last, I don't know how many years, it's been more than 10, as Ray and Joe would know, there are more radio programs that are being simulcast,
sure, yeah,
particularly
especially
in
sports. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
Mike
an interesting phenomenon that people are willing to turn on the TV to watch talking heads who are not even talking to the camera, with no particular production values, no pictures, just to sit around and watch us talk. I don't know how to describe it.
WAMC.org, and then you just go to Watch Now?
Yeah.
Where
you Watch Now? You need a Silverlight plugin, but it's a very fast download and works across platforms, and you'll see the shambles that is this program.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's an interesting thing to watch on that WAMC.org is the fun drive. People would be surprised to see the activity. I mean, in the studio, we're just sitting here talking. If you watch the fun drive, in addition to seeing Alan and Ray or Joe and Selma, you'll see people walking by and handing. It's just sort of a behind-the-scenes.
See what people are eating.
Yeah, it's a behind-the-scenes thing.
I like that because you can show off the premiums.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can show off the premiums.
Yeah, that's good. This is what a radio looks like.
And that's radio. When the Fun Drive becomes a shopping channel.
Well, if we're giving away our...
And again, this is a topic for the 10 a.m. meeting.
Yes.
Well,
the listener...
Well, you give away Crank Radios.
But sure.
And you give away CDs and stuff, and you show those, right?
Well, Alan and I do things a little differently. We're just trying to get through it. We don't hold up a lot of stuff.
No, we don't.
Well, no, but you're talking about them.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's go to Toyota. Eric Holder, the United States Attorney General, talked in impassioned tones on Wednesday about Toyota's behavior in hiding safety defects from the public, calling it shameful and a blatant disregard for the law. A $1.2 billion criminal penalty, the largest ever for a car maker in the United States, was imposed. Mr. Holder said the department's four-year investigation of Toyota found that the company concealed information about defects from consumers and government officials, putting lives at risk because of faulty parts that caused sudden unintended acceleration, which sounds bad, in several of its models.
You know, I'm not one of those people who defaults to the big bad corporation theory and that all corporations are bad. But I tell you, this story makes me so mad that for a company like that to have put lives at risk by deliberately doing what it did, I mean, $1 billion almost doesn't sound like enough penalty.
If somebody dies as a result of it.
I mean,
and,
it's just horrible.
And of course, GM, too. I mean, you know, I'm a little concerned about the size of the fine against the foreign corporation compared to what goes on, you know, here in the country. But GM, whose reputation was originally ruined, Ralph Nader going after, you know, car companies. It was GM, wasn't it, that they went after?
Whose reputation has come back in the wake of the bailout.
And now they do the same thing.
Yeah, but are they being accused of just manufacturing?
They're being accused, I believe, of knowing it.
GM.
And not, doing anything about it for a while.
It's just unconscionable. It's terrible.
And you wonder how many other things are happening like that, right?
Well, that's a fair question. Let's speculate. But no, listen, it does, you know, I can go back to my ballpark. If a newspaper makes mistakes, a prominent mistake, it calls into question its credibility on everything else it does. And how many people now, we're already hearing people saying they'll never buy a GM car again. How many people are thinking the same thing about Toyota? And how many other manufacturers may be doing the same thing? You certainly hope none. But boy, it's just a black eye on the auto industry.
Let's move to the Federal Reserve. Further curtailed its economic stimulus campaign on Wednesday, even as it said the effort would continue for the foreseeable future, given the enduring consequences of the Great Recession. The Fed is expected, and is that a term now, the Great Recession?
That seems to be the common phrase now.
All right. The Fed, as expected, announced it would reduce its monthly purchases of Treasury and mortgage. So newspapers can do that, but if TV stations name weather for it.
Which part?
Oh.
No, I didn't.
Going full circle now, are we?
You caught me unawares. Well,
nice.
Okay. The Fed, as expected, announced it would reduce its monthly purchases of Treasury and mortgage-backed securities by $10 billion to $55 billion because of its confidence that the four-year-old recovery is finally becoming self-sustaining.
Well, I think that all of the economic indicators, except one major one, indicate that the recovery is here, but the big one is wages, and that people, by and large, have not had increases in their salaries, and that the cost of, fuel oil, gasoline during this bad winter, and food because of droughts is more expensive than it was, and people are unable to pay for it. And so they at the base level are feeling it and don't believe that we're in a recovery. But you know, the kinds of other indicators seem to be suggesting that we are getting our way out of it. So it seems to me the Fed did what it needed to do.
Well, yeah, but they know full well that they're engaged in this balancing act.
Yeah.
Every time they say we're going to cut down on the kind of basic welfare for the market that we're doing and giving the money and buying the bonds and whatever else, they know that the market, as it did yesterday when she spoke, will go down. So what they have to do is balance in such a way that they don't ruin the economy. They don't make bad things happen. You know, a week from now, she'll be forgotten for this little thing. It was a one-day phenomenon. The market was reacting to what she said. You got to go behind the headlines to figure, okay, you can hear what that discussion is like as they try to figure this out.
Where do you agree with my premise about wages? And if you agree with it, what do you think the answer to that is? Because a lot of the reasons that wages have been depressed is because businesses have cut back and have recognized that they can continue to operate efficiently with fewer people and that they can pay less because people are looking for work.
That's the way unions got started.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what happened and then there was a certain amount of corruptiveness that occurred within unions. There's no question that the American people, it's the lowest, I believe, union membership of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's down to 8 or 11%, something like
but,
that.
But they'll be back again. Because when, as you suggest, people take advantage, the bosses take advantage the way that they're doing it, you'll find unions having to be created just to protect their people.
Except in a lot of industries now, you can continue to operate without the core staff because either you're producing it offshore or because you're using computers and robots.
And by the way, we knew it was coming.
Yeah.
We knew it was coming all along. Again, I always refer to my late and wonderful colleague, Sebastian DiGrazia, who wrote about this in the 20th for the 20th Century Fund at the end of the 60s. Saying, automation, and his solution, of course, was that bosses would have 3-day work weeks and 2-day work weeks and much more recreation. But that hasn't happened.
Yeah, and I think that's also one of the not in radio. And I think one of the motivations, if not the motivation, for Obama's pitch to change the overtime rules is because he can't do much about and to raise the minimum wage is he can't do much more than that to impact private industry. And he believes that by changing the overtime rules to pay overtime to those who are not yet qualified will elevate wages.
It'll set the standard.
Yeah,
for everybody
set
else.
The standard.
We are out of time. I want to thank everybody who checked in, and we love hearing from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Ira Fussfeld, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe, for your usual stewardship.
Thank you. And, I was thinking of making an Alan joke, but then I couldn't think of something. That's bad.
That's the difference.
They're so easy
to
find.
That's the difference. Yeah. What'd you say?
I say they're very easy to come up with.
Yeah, you think?
Sure. Whether you have a short amount of time to do it, you can start there.
He said short. You know why he said short.
Or if you know.
Yeah, I was working off stewardship.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
You know why he said short.
Goodbye.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.